Amen. Please turn with me to Zechariah in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. I want to start a new series here tonight. We'll continue next week and maybe into the new year. Just a few messages. And this new series, it's Jerusalem and Bible prophecy. I want to deal with that. And I believe it's a very contemporary issue. Over the past week in world news, we have already heard that just the mention of the name Jerusalem, just for a president to say, we recognize the city of Jerusalem. We acknowledge that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. For that to actually happen is enough to send absolute rad out across our world. You get the Pope coming on saying, I don't like that. You get China, you get Russia, you get the UN, you get the EU, you get the British Prime Minister, you get the German Prime Minister, and they're all in uproar. Hold on. Those who have a Bible know that for 3,000 years at least, Jerusalem has been called the capital of Israel. I do not believe it's a small thing that's happened over the name Jerusalem or over the nation Israel. And we're going to deal with it from the Bible here. My message tonight is Jerusalem under siege. Jerusalem under siege. Reading from Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eye upon the house of Judah, and I will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your word and your truth that you've chosen Jerusalem, Lord God. You've prophesied about it so many times. You've revealed yourself and you said that through that small city of Jerusalem that you are going to reveal that you're the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who formed even man by his own hand. You said that you're going to reveal yourself in Israel and Jerusalem, that you are going to demonstrate your judgment and your holiness against all the nations and all those Islamic nations round about her. My God, we stand in a remarkable generation where we're watching everything happen in the nations. Lord God, tonight give us a sense that the God of Abraham is our God, that the God of Israel is still alive and real, and that he arises on behalf of his church in Jesus. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My message tonight is Jerusalem under siege. Jerusalem under siege. And in these few messages, I want to deal with the history, the conflicts, and the prophecies in the Bible concerning the city of Jerusalem and the small nation of Israel. Let me begin here tonight by mentioning a man called Henry Grattan Guinness of the famous Guinness family. I don't know whether you know that in Ireland Guinness is a famous name and the Guinness family is a famous family. But that family has three different lines to it. One is a line of bankers. One is the alcohol company. But the third one is a line of preachers and of missionaries. Henry Grattan Guinness was a part of that third line of the family. His father started the Guinness Company. The money was left to his father, and his father said, I won't touch a penny that comes through alcohol. That's who Henry Grattan Guinness's father was. And in fact, if you look at the statue outside our door of O'Connell, who O'Connell Street is named after, Mr. O'Connell shot Guinness's mother's first husband dead in a duel in Dublin. And Mr. O'Connell said, I will pay for the education of Mr. Guinness for the rest of his days. Well, Mr. Guinness said, no thank you, I'm going to live for the Lord, I'm a preacher. Do you know, Henry Grattan Guinness stood on this street in Limerick and he preached the gospel and he started a riot and people began to fight with him. He was a man of prayer, a man of revival, a man who walked with God. But let me tell you something else about Henry Grattan Guinness that preached in this city. He was a man who studied Bible prophecy. He was a man who studied Jerusalem and Israel in the Bible. He was a man who studied the stars and the heavens, and he believed that the God who created all of the heavens and the constellations and who put the stars there, that the stars actually have written into them the times and the seasons of God for world history. That's what Henry Grattan Guinness believed. He was also a student of the Bible and of church history, and he studied the Word of God. And listen to what he wrote in a book in 1887. And I've got his two books on my shelf. I've got a wife who bought both of them for me. They're published about 1901. But these two books from 1887 and 88, in those two books, Henry Grattan Guinness predicted. Now listen, this is 1888, before 1900. He predicted in those books, and I've got them on my shelf, he said that before the end of 1917, that the city of Jerusalem is going to get delivered from Islam and from the Turkish Ottoman Empire, and it's going to be given back, delivered from the Muslims, and it's going to begin to come back into the hands of the Jewish nation, which had been scattered for almost 2,000 years. Now he died in 1910. But in 1917, Jerusalem was delivered from the Ottoman Empire and it passed back into the hands of the Jews again. And we actually read in history, if you look at history or if you go on the internet or YouTube, you can see General Allenby of the British Army walking into the city of Jerusalem. Not riding. Do you know him and his soldiers? They come up to the gates and they defeated the Turks. But he gets off his horse, very strange thing, he gets off his horse and he takes the horse by the reins and he walks into the city of Jerusalem and he says, Jerusalem is free. Do you know why he got off his horse? Because of Henry Grattan Guinness's books that were written. And you know what? Before Allenby left London, one of his general friends says, now Allenby, you're going to Jerusalem. And he says, listen to me, you are going to rescue Jerusalem before December. And Allenby said, it's impossible, it could never happen. He said, it will happen. He says, why do you say that? He says, because I've been reading Henry Grattan Guinness, and through the study of Daniel and Revelation and Ezekiel, he actually predicts that before December 1917, Jerusalem must be delivered from Islamic rule. And isn't that quite a prediction for a man who preached on the high street of Limerick to say, I'll tell you that that city is going to be delivered? Well, he got off his horse. Why did he get off the horse? You know why? Because his friend told him, don't you dare ride your horse into Jerusalem, because that is kept for one man, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is going to ride into that city. Don't you dare, Allenby. Don't you dare. So you see in all the famous videos of 1917 December, Allenby getting off his horse and leading it in. I want to tell you, we live in very, very exciting days. Whenever the name Jerusalem, just mention Jerusalem, all the world governments and all the religious leaders get in a terrible state. Do you know last week, and listen to me carefully, because I want to warn you about the condition of Europe. Last week, because Trump mentions that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, there were 200 radical Muslims on the streets of Sweden. And I've got it in a video there. And they're crying out, stab the Jews, stab the Jews, kill the Jews, destroy the Jews. And that's happening all across the world. Do you know there's radical Islam in Limerick, and in Dublin, and in London, and in Birmingham, and out across to Germany? Do you know the name Muhammad was the most popular name of a children born in the past year here in Ireland, and in London, and in Berlin, and in Germany? I want to tell you, we live in a very interesting era, and that's why I want to preach to you and begin to show you from the Bible what the Bible says about Jerusalem and Israel. Do you know why? Because the God of Jerusalem and the God of Israel is our God. And this book that talks about Jerusalem and Israel, God actually says in this book, I've chosen Jerusalem. And what I'm going to do in that city and all the prophecies and everything that happens is for one reason, to show you that I am the living God, that I am alive, that I know all things, and that I have all power. And that's what I want to preach to you here tonight as we come to the Word of God. Jerusalem under siege. The name Israel occurs about 2,600 times in the Bible. It is a name to be loved because it's a Bible name, and it was a name given by God himself. The name Israel was created in the mind of God and given to a man who then become the father of the tribes of Israel. When a name is mentioned 2,600 times in the Bible, we ought to take note of it. You see, who is Israel? They're the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God chose Abraham. God chose Isaac. God chose Jacob. And out of that one family, he raised up the whole Hebrew family or nation and the nation of Israel. The term Israel is almost the same as the term Jews. Now the name Jerusalem or the city of Jerusalem is mentioned, and listen this, over 800 times in the Bible. Does anyone know how many times Jerusalem is mentioned in the Quran? Not one single time. Now Islam is fighting for Jerusalem, saying it's our city. We want to possess Jerusalem. Not once does the Quran mention it. And yet our Bible has it more than 800 times. Israel is mentioned in the New Testament 79 times. And it's always speaking not about spiritual Israel. It's never talking about the church. In the New Testament, 79 times, it's still talking about the Hebrew people born and descended from Abraham. You see, there's some in the church that say, they believe we, the church, have replaced Israel. That's not true. And the old Catholic theologians, they used to teach, oh, we have replaced Israel. God's finished with Israel. God's finished with Jerusalem. And now God only deals with the church. That is not true. God has not replaced Israel at all. And in the New Testament, we read about Israel 79 times. It's talking about the same nation. And you know what? The Israel or the Jews are separate from the church and the Gentile nations. We also read about Jews 84 times in the Old Testament and 192 times in the New Testament. The word Christian is only mentioned once in our New Testament. The name Christian once in our whole entire New Testament. But the name of the Jews is mentioned 192 times. Not in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Now we ought to be aware of this. You know why? No nation is more hated than Israel in our entire world. And you have to tonight ask why. And there's no city that is actually under more siege or more attack than Jerusalem, no other city in the entire world. And I want you to seriously ask yourself in this room, why is it that Israel is the center of all controversy? Why is Jerusalem at the center of all the troubles in the world? And why is it that the Bible speaks about Israel and Jerusalem so very much? Now we know in the Old Testament that the Jews actually called Israel, or the nation of Israel, Canaan, or the land of milk and honey. It was a land that God had covenanted or made a promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David and Solomon. And he says, this little bit of land, I give it to you, not to any other family in the earth, but only to this particular family. The word Jew comes from Judah. And Judah is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. But then that name, Jew or Judah, actually became the name for the entire 12 tribes. So we see that Jerusalem and Israel are unique. Jerusalem is a unique city in the world. No other city in the world is like Jerusalem. None. Do you realize there's only one city in the Bible that God says, I have chosen that physical city? Do you realize there's only one little bit of land in our world where God time and time again says, I have chosen this ground, I have chosen this city, that I might dwell there, that my name might dwell there, that I might reveal myself there. Only one city in the entire earth. Now here, if you're the devil, and you know that God has only chosen one plot of land and one small insignificant city, if you're the devil, even if you don't know all things, you're going to say, what is it about this land? What is it about this people? You're going to hate God's plan. And I'm sure you see in this city of Limerick, when God begins to move in a family, or begins to move in an individual or a church, I can assure you the devil begins to go, well, why is the Holy Spirit beginning to move in that Birmingham family? Why is God beginning to touch this particular family? And the devil gets all stirred up. And he begins to say, now I don't want to be losing people. And I don't want a whole family to get saved. So the devil watches. And you know what? This little church here in the middle of Limerick High Street, do you realize the devil keeps a good eye on it? Because the devil goes, if God has chosen that church, and that people are a praying people, and they have faith in God, and they're preaching the word of God, why is it God has kept them? Why is it God is touching lives? Why is it there's a love in our hearts for God? You see, the devil says, God has chosen that people. God has put that people there. And I'm going to keep a very close eye upon them. Because I tell you what, I don't care if it's only 70 people, or only 10 people, or only a handful. If God has chosen them, it means His plan is there. His purpose is there, His will is there, His heart is there, His eyes are there, His plan is there. And the devil says, I'm going to hang about. So as soon as God touches a Moses, man, I've got to kill him. Isn't that right? And remember Mary, that Hebrewess, that Jewish lady. Remember, she was a Jewess. She was an Israeli. And that young maiden Mary was going to conceive and have a child. What did the devil do? I've got to kill that child. And that's what the devil has always tried to do, is to abort God's plan and try to destroy it. He hates whatever God actually begins to do. You see, Jerusalem If you keep your eyes on Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel, it is God's watch. It is God's timepiece. You can actually predict when you watch the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel, you can begin to find out God's plan in the midst of the nation. You begin to find out where prophecy is in the Bible by looking at that one small nation. Now, Israel isn't a godly country. They're not all born again. If a Jew dies without being born again, he'll go to hell. He's lost. He must be forgiven through the blood. They're not any more special than anyone else as far as spiritual salvation. But God has chosen that people. He didn't choose the Irish like that. He didn't choose the English like that. Or the Americans, or the Russians, or the Germans. He chose Israel. And he chose Abraham's seed. And he said, Abraham, through your family, you're one family, you're an old man. And here, Sarah, you're an old lady, and you can't even have a child, and yet I've made a covenant with this man, a woman, saying, out of you, I'm going to bless every family and nation in the world. And do you know what? That's God's plan for Israel, that he'll bless Israel, and through them, he'll bless the world. What were the 12 apostles? They were Jews. They were born in Israel. What about all the prophets of the Bible? They were born in Israel. All the great prophets. What about all the authors of this book apart from one? They were born in Israel. You know what God says? He said, all the covenants I made with Abraham and Moses and David, I gave all these covenants to Israel. No other nation. He said, I gave the gospel to Israel. And I gave the miracles to Israel. And I gave a revelation of who I am and my character and my nature, and I gave the written Bible to Israel. No other nation in the world. He didn't give it to Rome. No. He didn't give it to the Catholic Church. He gave it to the small nation of Israel. You know, you hear this stupid statement, well, the Catholic Church gave us the Bible. What a load of rubbish. Yeah. What a load of rubbish. Not a word of it. Do you know, if you want to be accurate, Israel gave us the Bible, okay? Let's keep this very accurate. God used Israel. And you know what he said? Through that small nation of Israel, the gospel's going to go into all the world to reach every nation. And I'm going to use that. Saints, that's why we're looking at Jerusalem tonight. Because it's a sign. It's a testimony. It's an example of what God wants to do in all the earth. Yes, he chose them, but he chose me also. Through grace, through mercy, God has loved me and chosen me and brought me into all the blessings that Israel had. You see, God's time peace. It's the only city in the world chosen specifically by God for himself. And all the old Hebrew prophets predicted, and listen to this, that Jerusalem would become the capital of the world. Zechariah prophesied it. Amos, Micah, Isaiah, many other prophets, they said the city of Jerusalem, the kingdom is going to be given to Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem will become exalted in the last days, and in the last days it will become the world capital and the dominion, and that all nations will go up to Jerusalem to worship. I didn't write this, it was the old Hebrew prophets that prophesied this. We know that Jerusalem in the future is going to be a religious capital, a political capital, an economic capital. The Bible actually prophesies and predicts that when Jesus comes back physically, literally, visibly, when he actually comes back to the earth, he won't come to Ireland or London or New York or Moscow. He is actually going to come back to the Mount of Olives outside the city of Jerusalem. Israel is actually smaller than Ireland. Think of Ireland. Cut it in half and that's, you've got the little nation of Israel. It's actually at a spot where three continents join and it's surrounded by enemies. It has a population of 8.5 million, twice of what Ireland has. And 6.5 million of those are Jews. Actually restored back there, the majority are Jews. Now here, when we begin looking at Bible prophecy, 80% of Bible prophecy is already fulfilled. The prophecy that the Messiah would be sold for 30 bits of silver, it's fulfilled. The prophecy that the Messiah would come and he would be pierced and his beard would be plucked, they're all prophecies. The prophecy that he would come up out of Egypt, he'd be born in Bethlehem. All of these prophecies are actually fulfilled, but there's still 20% of Bible prophecy yet to be fulfilled. It's never happened. There's still 20%. And if 80% of the prophecies in this Bible have exactly come to pass, believe me, I assure you that the other 20% is going to come to pass. One of the prophecies in the Bible is that Israel would be restored again as a nation in the last days. That Israel, after being scattered amongst more than 150 nations, the Bible predicts it, we're told they shall be gathered again back to their homeland. They'll be established on the mountains of Israel. They'll become a nation again, and that God is going to begin to use them. Did it happen? It did happen in 1948. You see, I believe that Bible prophecy is true. Notice with me in Zechariah chapter 8 verse 2, it says, "Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, I am jealous for Zion." Zion is another name for Jerusalem. "I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury." Do you know what that means? You know what jealousy is? I'm jealous. I'm jealous. My heart burns. I have a love for you. I burn with fire. Well, you know what God says? You mess with my bride, I'm going to mess with you. If you touch the church, I'll touch you. But you know, all through the Bible, he says that about Jerusalem and Israel again. If you curse her, I'll curse you. You fight against her, I'll fight against you. You touch Jerusalem, Zion. He says, I am going to burn with fire. You attack Jerusalem, I will destroy your armies. I will make your men tremble. I will bury your dead bodies under the desert. Do you hear me? Hey, I'm not a pacifist and neither is God. You mess with God, you're in serious trouble. Well, the Bible actually says this in Zechariah 8. I was jealous for Zion. I'm going to be very jealous. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. What a statement for God, the God of the Bible, to say, I am going to dwell in Jerusalem. That's where I've actually chosen. And I'm very jealous about Jerusalem. You mock Jerusalem. You despise Jerusalem. You hate Jerusalem. Let the UN speak bad of Jerusalem. And let Russia speak bad against it. I tell you, America's done the right thing in saying we recognize the city of Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. I want to be on the right side with God. You know, everything this book says, I'm not anti-Semitic. The Catholic Church has been. It always has been. Do you know they used to kill Jews? Do you know that Ireland has been anti-Semitic, very anti against Israel? That's asking for trouble. You don't want to be on the wrong side of this. But here, listen to me tonight. My message is Jerusalem under siege. Look with me at Zechariah chapter 12 verse 1. It says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. In other words, this is in God's heart for Israel. God has a burden in his heart. There is something very heavy, of great importance in God's heart for Israel. And God says, I'm going to speak through my prophet Zechariah. I have something that's so important and I want Israel to know this. I'm going to reveal it. Listen, he says three things about himself. I, the Lord God of Israel, which stretcheth forth the heavens. What's he saying? He says, I'm the God who created the entire universe. I stretch forth the heavens. Then he says, and layeth the foundation of the earth. I am the God who laid the very foundation of the entire earth. And then thirdly he says, and formeth the spirit of man within him. So notice those three things. I created the heavens and the foundations of the earth. And man, I created man. God is saying, I've got a burden for Israel. A heavy burden. Listen to what the burden is in verse 2. You see, this is an old prophecy. Almost 3,000 years old. But this prophecy is for today. In our generation. In our world, and it's just about to happen. What I'm about to read to you here, it is future. It's just ahead of us. In the next years, we are going to see it actually happen. Do you hear me? All the old prophecies that have been already fulfilled, there's still 20% to happen. One of them is Zechariah 12, and it's all about Israel, and it's all about Jerusalem. And God says, I want you to listen to me. Because I'm going to do something here. He says in verse 2, read with me. Behold, I will make Jerusalem. Notice who it's saying it, the God, the Creator. He says, I am going to make Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem. That little city, the capital of Israel. He says, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. That's for our generation. What does he mean, a cup of trembling? God is going to make that city a cup of trembling. The word means to reel about as if you're drunk. It means to be intoxicated, drunk with alcohol. You're inebriated. All the drink has gone in and all the wit has gone out. And he's actually saying, I'm going to make nations drunk with the city of Jerusalem. This is for our generation. Have you not seen it? Look how mad they are. You see in the past week, look at how Islam is reacting. And the Pope in Rome is reacting. And Russia and China and Germany and the English Parliament. And they're all saying, man, Trump, you're crazy. What, for calling Jerusalem the capital of Israel nation? Notice what it says in verse 2. It says, Jerusalem in our generation is going to become a cup of trembling unto all the people round about it, all the nations. You know all the nations around Israel? They're Muslim, aren't they? All of them. They're all Muslim nations. God is prophesying here and saying, he's going to make the city of Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness. Through Jerusalem, all of the nations around Israel are going to become drunk, like drunken men, crazy men. They're not going to be able to speak right. They're going to go to and fro. They're going to lose their mind. That's what it is actually saying. God is saying, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all of those nations, to Syria. And to Iraq, and to Iran, and to Egypt, and to Lebanon, and to Saudi Arabia, and all of those nations. I am literally going to make the city of Jerusalem. God chose that city. And he said, all of those surrounding nations are going to become drunk. You know, a drunk man, he'll join the mob, won't he? You get people on a Saturday night in Limerick, get them all drunk and you can start a riot. Get them all drunk and they'll go singing down the street together or chanting together. And you know what God is saying? I am going to make all those Arab nations around Jerusalem, when they start playing games with Jerusalem and attacking Jerusalem, you know what? I'm going to make them all drunk. Through that one city of Jerusalem. That one city is going to send them crazy. Verse 3 it says, and in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone. Notice this. For all people. All nations. All governments in the world. God is actually saying, he has chosen Jerusalem. That it's going to be like a heavy weight of a stone on every single nation in the world. All people are going to be affected by the little nation of Israel. Now this is a prophecy that in the last days, our generation, before Jesus comes back, Jerusalem is going to be the most critical controversial city in the entire world. Has it happened? It has happened. These are prophecies 2,500 years old. Before there was a Roman Empire, God is prophesying Jerusalem is going to cause trouble all across the world. All nations are going to be affected by it. This is a radical prophecy about what's going to happen in the end days. He goes on in chapter 12. And he says, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. Every nation that attacks Israel will be cut in pieces. Every nation. He then says, through all the people of the earth, through all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. They'll be cut in pieces. In other words, if all the nations of the world join together and come against Jerusalem, God is going to cut them up for dinner. Okay, we're talking about Bible prophecy. Do you know what God's saying? No army is going to destroy Jerusalem. Prophesied 2,500 years ago. He said nobody will destroy that city. I'm jealous for that city. And you know what? I'll make that little city the center of all controversy in the Middle East. That one city, not Oman, not Cairo, not Alexandria, none of the great cities of the Middle East. This little tiny city that's smaller than Limerick City. This little city is going to be the center of the world. Why is it? Because God said it. He chose it. And the devil hates Israel and the little city of Jerusalem. He actually goes on to say in verse 6, in that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire. He talks about all nations attacking Jerusalem. He talks about a war, and this war hasn't happened yet. He says that these actual nations surrounding are going to come against the city of Jerusalem. And it says that they shall devour them round about. Now listen to me carefully. In Zechariah 12, we read of an invasion of Jerusalem, where nations come up and surround Jerusalem. And we're told who they are. They're the nations that surround Jerusalem are going to come against her and attack her. Then notice again in Zechariah 14 verse 2, we read of another war several years later. And it says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. So notice here in Zechariah, there's two wars. There's two attacks on the city of Jerusalem. First it said, the nations that are around Israel are going to attack her. The second one, it says, all nations from the world are going to gather against her. And follow with me in chapter 14 and verse 12. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city, notice like this, shall be taken. And the houses rifled. And the women ravished or raped. And half of the city will go forth into captivity. I'm talking about the future of Jerusalem. And of the people shall not, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. He's actually saying there's going to come a war when all nations come against Jerusalem. And the city's going to get divided. Half will be in the hands of Gentiles, the nations that invade, and half of it's going to remain Jewish. And the city's going to be attacked, and it's going to be there in this state for 3.5 years, where all nations are actually in and around the city of Jerusalem. And listen to what happens at that time. Then shall the Lord go forth. Do you know Jesus is coming back again? Do you know Jesus is coming back? The same one who died on the cross. The one who suffered for your sin. The one who took your place, who so loved you that he died for you. He's coming back again. Where is he coming to? Jerusalem. Yeah. Listen to what it says. And it says, then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations. As when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem in the east. So notice there's two wars. Zechariah 12 hasn't happened yet. That's all the local Muslim nations are going to gather against Israel. I believe that's Ezekiel's war, and we'll deal with that in the weeks to come. But Zechariah 14 is when Jesus comes back. Israel, Jerusalem's going to be surrounded by enemies. There's two different wars. But you know what happens? Zechariah 12, we read about it in Zechariah 12. Israel defeats all those enemies. All the nations around Israel that come against her, Israel defeats them and destroys them. And there's a wonderful spiritual revival that we read about. But here, now listen to this city of Jerusalem. Israel was scattered across the world from AD 70 until 1948. Almost 2,000 years, Jerusalem was not the capital of the Jews. It was not the center of God's plan and purpose. It was a deserted city. From AD 70, when the Roman army attacked and killed 1 million Jews and scattered them into every nation of the world, God prophesied this would happen. Remember Jesus in Jerusalem? He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, that you would have listened to me. I would have saved your children, but you rejected me." And you know what's going to happen? Your mothers in Israel are going to give birth to children. You'll wish you never had children. Jesus prophesied that about Jerusalem. It happened in AD 70 when Rome invaded, destroyed the city, destroyed the temple. And Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. And it was scattered across the world until 1948. During those 2,000 years, everywhere that you found Jews in Limerick, and they would keep the Passover every year, and they would have their time of communion. And you know what they always said? Next year in Jerusalem. But hold on, there's no Israel. Jerusalem isn't the capital of Israel, but they're scattered all across the world. And they said, next year, Mary, we're going to have Passover in Jerusalem. Brother Paul, next year. And they would say this every year. The vision carried on from AD 70 all the way through to 1948. Wherever you find Jews, they would celebrate every year saying, next year, we're going to keep the Passover. Where we remember that God delivered us from Egypt. We're going to keep it actually in Jerusalem. When we look at the history of Jerusalem, it was besieged 23 times in its history. It was attacked 52 times. It was captured and recaptured 44 times. And it's been totally destroyed twice in all. The Muslims actually moved in and took over Jerusalem in AD 638. Remember, we've got a Jewish religion, a Jewish Bible. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Way before Islam, Allah, or Muhammad. There was nothing. Islam, when it was created, had a hatred for the Jew, for Israel, and for Jerusalem. And in 638, the Muslims first took over Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem in 638, and it remained under Muslim rule straight through until 1967 in our generation. Some of you are a bit too young for that. So I certainly am, but it's still our generation. The nation of Israel was birthed in one day. Remember in Isaiah 66, it said that Israel and Jerusalem will be birthed as a nation. Said, who's ever seen it? That a nation could be birthed in one day. That haven't begun to give birth, God is going to birth an entire nation, militarily, politically, spiritually, with its own language and all of its own prosperity. In one day it's going to be birthed as a nation. God actually prophesied that. And Jesus said much about Jerusalem. Now let me tell you about the short history of Jerusalem from 1948. In 1947, the UN made a resolution. And listen to this carefully, because all the Arabs and the Muslims, they won't tell you what I'm just about to tell you. In 1947, the UN made a plan, a two-state religion, or two-state answer to Israel's problems. They said there'd be a Palestinian state and a Jewish state. And this was their plan. Do you know who agreed to it? Israel. Israel said, we'll go for this. Do you know who rejected it? The Palestinians and all of the Arabs and all of the Muslim nations. They said, we do not want Israel to exist. We don't want a Jewish nation. We don't want a Jewish homeland. We're not going to share the land. But Israel said, yes, we'll share it. We'll divide the nation. We'll divide the city of Jerusalem. But the Muslims actually rejected it. So in 1948, just 1 year later, Israel announced itself as a nation. On the 15th of May, it announced the birth of a new nation. Britain pulled out of the Middle East. The next day, Israel said, we are a nation. And that all the Bible prophecies are coming to pass. And this nation is going to be birthed in one day. And the God of the Bible has brought us back here. And this is our land given to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And spoken of to Moses and to David and to Solomon. This is our ancient homeland. No other bit of land in the world. That's our bit of land. And they birthed a nation. Here they were, a small nation without an army. Do you know what happened the very next day? The Arab nations declared war on Israel. Now listen to this, let me give you some facts. Because it's a miracle. Israel's a miracle. Jerusalem is a miracle. It's a modern miracle. And it's fulfilled Bible prophecy from thousands of years ago. On the very next day after Israel said, we're a nation, listen to the countries that attacked. Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. There was an army of 40 million men with modern Russian tanks, planes, equipment. And the Jewish population was 640,000. They only had a volunteer army, which took 24 hours to assemble. And during that period, listen to what the Muslims done. They destroyed 58 synagogues in the city of Jerusalem. There were only 59. And they destroyed 58 the day after. The war actually went on for 10 months. This great Arab army invaded Israel, said, we will destroy you. We will annihilate you. There'll be no Jewish nation. There'll be no state of Israel. You will not touch Jerusalem. And this great army, with all of its weapons, attacked. And this little population who had actually escaped from the German Holocaust. Remember, 6 million people were killed. Jews were killed. Most of those in Israel during the 1948 war, they had escaped from Germany and Poland and Russia. They had actually seen the death of husbands and wives and children and parents and cousins and uncles and aunties. Many of their families had died. Why? For being Jewish, having Jewish blood. That's how much the devil hates the Jew. 6 million destroyed in those death camps. Terrible. And here was the little nation saying, we don't have any other country to go to. We've got no other city to go to. We only have one place, and it's where the Bible actually said we should be. The war continued for 10 months. And in fact, other soldiers were sent from Yemen, Morocco, Sudan, and even Pakistan to fight against Israel and destroy her. But who won? Israel. Israel actually won. This small nation that had been birthed in one day, that the Bible talks about with thousands of prophecies. They stood against this great army. They survived and they said, we are a nation. Over the next 10 years, their population doubled in size. But Jerusalem was still in the hands of Jordan, or the Arabs, up until 67. During that time, from 1948 to 67, the Jordanians who overseen Jerusalem, listen to what happened in Jerusalem. Jewish residents were expelled from Jerusalem. They were thrown out. Restrictions were imposed on all Christians in Jerusalem. that forced them to leave the city, and Jewish sites were destroyed. 38,000 graves were destroyed in Jerusalem. Why? They were Jewish graves. This is under Jordan, up until 67. And yet Israel never attacked them, never touched them, and let it go on. But they were back in their land. They just didn't have Jerusalem. What happened in 1967? We actually read the history books that President Nasser of Egypt, from 1967 and earlier, he begins to threaten Israel. He begins to say, we're going to attack you. We're going to destroy you. We're bringing an army against you. At the beginning of 1967, there were 37 terrorist attacks against Israel. Arabs came into the country, let off bombs. 37 attacks within the first 3 months. This actually led to the Six-Day War. President Nasser of Egypt gathered a large army on the border of Israel. He kept saying, we're going to destroy you. We're going to attack you. We'll annihilate every Jew off the face of the planet. And all the Arab nations were behind him. He actually began to move against Israel. He expelled UN forces out of the way. He said, you UN forces, get out of the way. We're going to attack Israel. All of this happened. Egypt had an army of 280,000 soldiers. Jordan had an army. See, they didn't learn from 1948. They didn't learn what the Bible said, that God said, I'm very jealous over Jerusalem and over Israel. Do not touch them. So you've got the same nations coming again. Egypt. Jordan sent 55,000 soldiers. Syria sent 75,000 soldiers. Aircraft or airplanes were sent from Libya, Algeria, Morocco, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. Lebanon was involved with it. And Soviet Russia financed them and armed them all. Here, this little nation is just trying to exist. And all of these armies are trying to destroy them. They were outnumbered 3-1. 3 soldiers to every person in the entire country. They were utterly outnumbered. And there were 3 times as many men, planes and tanks coming against them. What did Israel have? 50,000 soldiers against this massive army. In fact, their army in 1967 was so weak that the soldiers, the paratroopers, the best fighting soldiers in Israel, they have to confiscate taxis and school buses and personal lorries because they don't have any equipment. They can't move their soldiers. They don't have military equipment. So they've got to confiscate civilian material. And yet, listen this. Within 24 hours of this Arab army attacking them, Israel had attacked 23 Arab airfields and destroyed their planes. 452 planes destroyed. Israel stood alone. England didn't stand with her. Neither did France, neither did America. They were begging for help because the odds were so against them. But nobody would help. They actually invaded Jerusalem, and for the first time since AD 70, they took back the city of Jerusalem. The first time they got back the Wailing Wall, their holy sites, and could defend themselves once again. They gained 3 times as much land. They defeated Egypt, Syria, all these surrounding nations. They wiped out their army. They destroyed their tanks. It was a remarkable battle. And in fact, Israel began to go on the attack. They almost took the capital of Egypt, which is Cairo. They were about to take Damascus, which is the capital of Syria. And they were about to take Amman, the capital of Jordan. They pushed back the barriers and they said, we've got now 3 times as much land. You said you'd destroy us. You said you'd annihilate us. But God has given us the land. They were about to take these 3 capitals, when Henry Kissinger, he's a world government man, stepped in and he threatened Israel, said, if you attack those three capitals, America will come against you. They destroyed their enemies in Iran. What am I telling you? The Bible's true. Amen. It's already happened all around us. In fact, here's a fact about Israel. 93% of all the territories they've ever taken in the times they're attacked, they've given 93% of it back again for peace. And yet there is no peace. They're still under attack. Let me give you one last warning. 1973. I'm telling you about what the Bible says and what's happened within one generation. In 1973, there was the Yom Kippur War. For the years leading into this, the Arab nations, they bombed. They had suicide bombers. They attacked. They sent rockets into Israel. Israel never retaliated. Then in 1973, Egypt and Syria, again, they haven't learned their lesson. The Egyptians and Syrian troops begin to gather near the border on the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is also called the Day of Judgment. It was the most holy day in Israel's calendar for the year. It's a day when the entire nation shuts down. There's no communication, no buses, nobody is active. Nobody's on the phone line. You can't get a bus. There's no shop open. Everybody fasts. And the entire nation is asking God to forgive them, ready for the day of judgment. The entire nation of Israel was shut down. It was a day off. You're either in the synagogue or you're on the beach, one or the other. But the whole nation, nobody is going anywhere. That's when Egypt and Syria attacked again. There was 600,000 men. And 300 tanks attacked from Egypt, from the south. You're looking at a little nation that's shut down for the day. The Sabbath. 600,000 men advanced from the south. And from the north, 1,200 tanks come from Syria. Those 1,200 tanks went against 180 Israeli tanks. Iraq also joined in. And down at the Suez Canal, 500 Israeli soldiers, listen to this, were attacked by 80,000 Egyptians. 500 against 80,000. What a match. This is David and Goliath all the time. It's always David and Goliath. The God of David is still alive and Goliath still falls. He's the very same. At one point, only 90 battered tanks stood between the Arab army and Tel Aviv, the capital of Israel. In the first 12 days of the war, Saudi Arabia joined in, then Kuwait, the Yemen Republic, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Morocco, Algeria, Tunis and Jordan. They all said, surely this time we're going to defeat Israel and we'll take Jerusalem back. Even North Vietnam joined in and sent its soldiers. America wouldn't touch or help. But Russia resupplied the Egyptian and Syrian army. It had been held back, but Russia stepped in and began to finance for a week. And all through that week, President Nixon of America, he refused to intervene or help. Nobody was helping Israel. Nobody was providing arms for them or coming to their aid. No nation in the world. Then the Israeli Prime Minister, she phones, as we saw on Sunday afternoon, she phoned up Mr. Nixon directly and says, Mr. Nixon, we're in a hard place. Nobody's for us. Everybody is against us. We need supplies. And you know on the phone, you know the story, Mr. Nixon suddenly remembered, the President of the United States remembered that when he was a little boy at home, his mother, who was a Bible-believing Christian, had said to him, son, a day is coming when you're going to be an older man, that God's going to call upon you to help Israel. And when that day comes, you have to do everything within your power to help Israel. He answered the Israeli Prime Minister. He says, you've got our help. Thank God for godly mummies, huh? Thank God for a godly mother who could say to Mr. Nixon when he's only a wee boy, son, you do what's right. You mothers that are going to dedicate your children, you raise that child. And you don't know who that child is. You don't know who Charlie is. You don't know what he's going to do, where he'll go. Raise him in the things of God. Give him the word of God. Raise him in this environment. Why? You don't know who you're dealing with. Give the word of God to your children. Well, what happened? Israel won the Yom Kippur war again. At the same time, there was a man of God in Wales called Samuel Howells, Rhys Howells' son. He had been praying, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, what's this burden of prayer? I'm praying for Israel, for Jerusalem. What is this burden? The Lord says, the devil wanted to bring Armageddon, and you've got to pray through that Armageddon doesn't happen. Could have been a great war. Do you realize that all these wars are predicted in Psalm 83? And let me close with this here tonight. Let me close with this. Psalm 83, listen to what it says. It's a song given by God to Israel. And in this psalm is mentioned all the countries that come against Israel. A song or a psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult or lots of noise. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and they've consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, and the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee, O God. The tabernacle of Edom, and listen to this. It mentions nations, the tabernacle of Edom, that's the Palestinians, and the Ishmaelites of Moab, and the Hagarians, and Gebel, and Ammon, that's Jordan, that we've mentioned in the three wars, and Amalek, and the Philistines, and the inhabitants of Tyre, and Ashur, which is Iraq, also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot, Selah, that means stop and listen. Do you know what it says a few verses later? Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession? Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind. And the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. And listen to this last verse. And this is the reason. This is the reason why 1948 happened. And 1967 happened. And 1973 happened. Listen to this verse. That the men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. In this psalm, the names of the nations that from 1948 to 1973 that attacked Israel are mentioned in this psalm. And God says, you know what? I'll destroy them. And they cunningly devised a plan to wipe out Israel. But I will destroy them. Why? So that you will know that I am about blessing. Do you know the Bible is a true book? And that the God of Jerusalem and the God of Israel is the God of this church. And he's a God who does miracles. And he's a God who chose you. And he's a God who loves you. And he'll fight against your enemies. And he'll deliver you here tonight. Are you struggling? Is the devil attacking you? Do you not know God cares? Do you have enemies that hate you? Or people who despise you? Or those who lie against you? Don't you know God loves you? If you love Jesus, If you put your faith in him, God says, I've chosen you. I'll keep you as the apple of my eye. I'm very jealous over you tonight. This is the God of the Bible. And he says, never think I've left you alone. Never think that I'll forsake you. I am your God. And if I care about the little nation of Israel when it's in its unbelief and it doesn't believe in the Messiah, how much more do I not love you here tonight? Let's stand.